denied any wrongdoing after becoming entangled in the investigation that derailed the career of David Petraeus.
There are still thousands of people on Long Island who do not have power. Now the man under the most pressure to get electricity restored following Hurricane Sandy is calling it quits. Long Island Power Authority Chief Operating Officer Michael Hervey says he'll leave his post at the end of the year. The man who accused Elmo puppeteer Kevin Clash of having sex with him when he was a teen now says he fabricated the story. This is NBC News Radio. The U.S. will need 52,000 more doctors by 2025, or millions of Americans might have no access to adequate health care. A new study says the nation's health care system could feel the effects of too few doctors before 2025 as more physicians retire and more baby boomers require medical care as they age. Investigators believe natural gas was involved in an explosion that destroyed an Indianapolis neighborhood, killing two people. The city's Homeland Security Director says investigators are recovering the appliances from destroyed homes to help determine the cause. And expect traffic in the air and on the roads this Thanksgiving holiday.
AAA estimates over 30 million of us will drive 50 miles or more to visit family or friends during the holiday weekend. That's up more than 0.5% from last year. If you add in the 13 million Americans choosing to travel by air, that means 43 million of our closest friends and neighbors will be on the move over the long holiday weekend.
That's NBC's Paul Harlan. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Neuroman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Managing your own business takes a number of essential apps.
I think I have every one of them.
One is all you need.
Yeah, the contact managing one, the project tracking one, the work sharing one, and the client billing one.
No, just the all-in-one.
Which one?
Sage One, the simple web app that puts it all together for business.
That one.
The only one.
How do I get one?
Visit sagetoday.com for your 30-day free trial of Sage One.
Nice one.
That's sagetoday.com.
If your bank won't give you a loan for your kitchen renovation, no problem. You can get it at Home Depot. You can also get a homeowner's insurance quote at Costco and a life insurance quote at Walmart. Starting a new business? Get it funded at Sam's. New York Times reports that as retailers get into the financial services business, consumer watchdogs are worried because they're not subject to the same level of regulation as traditional firms. Got your eye on a hot new smartphone but don't want to pay hundreds to get it? T-Mobile hopes that's you. This weekend, the nation's number 4 wireless provider will offer the Samsung Galaxy S3 phone for free with a classic contract. It's effectively free, although technically not. It's a full rebate in the form of a Visa gift card. Most Asian and European stock markets have held near break-even today, but not us. S&P futures are gaining 8 points. NASDAQ futures up 19. Dow futures right now tacking on 58 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
My Mercedes-Benz dealership has a courtesy car waiting for me. It's easy for me
to... I come in, they always use Mercedes-Benz genuine parts.
And they always have my favorite coffee. I just feel so comfortable.
Personal attention and exceptional customer care. As a Mercedes-Benz owner, it's what you deserve and what you'll get.
My smooth ride.
My genuine sense.
My comfort zone. My service.
To learn more, visit mbusa.com/myservice.
Services vary. Available at participating dealers.
I want my company's network to be safer and more reliable.
Do you want to deal with multiple vendors?
No.
Are per-user fees and added feature costs okay?
No.
How about solutions that are hard to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Networks offers the largest family of powerful, affordable security, networking, and storage solutions designed to protect business users, apps, and data, all from a single source that's easy to do business with. Protect your business. Visit barracuda.com/products to try any free for 30 days.
The holidays are all about spending time with loved ones. Whether you're celebrating old family traditions or starting a few new ones of your own, the Company Store is here to help you make your holidays truly memorable. Find everything you need to create an inviting space filled with all the comforts of home at thecompanystore.com. Start with luxurious bedding, from festive flannel sheets and sumptuous quilts to the highest quality down comforters. Pamper yourself and guests alike with ultra-plush towels offered in a variety of sophisticated colors. The Company Store has all the seasonal decorations you will love, like whimsical pillow covers, felt stockings, and doormats. Set a merry mood for your home the moment friends walk in the door with the Company Store. Give the gift of warmth with cozy microfleece robes, down booties, and their popular family flannel pajamas. Patterned and exclusive prints and sized for one and all. Even the family dog. More products, more comfort, more of what you love. The Company Store. Right now, receive 20% off your entire order. Shop online at thecompanystore.com and enter promo code...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is the poster child for the cliche, actions speak louder than words.
One thing I tell people is there's no magic bullet here.
Because...
And there isn't just one or two things to do. This is a grinded out
situation. But I think
this is
a challenge.
Y'all don't shut up. I'm going to go out of my mind.
Welcome to Detroit's only free speech zone. It's time to wake up to truth, reality, and a way forward. It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. 6 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, the 14th day of November 2012. And what a day it's going to be. Very, very busy as I work through the show. And then I have some commitments, some conference calls. I have a meeting. And we move forward. We continue to look at expanding the opportunities that we have been afforded by the gift of doing this program on a daily basis, and certainly want to make sure I stop, and I need to do this more often, every now and then. I should stop and thank the many organizations that sponsor this show, that make it possible for us to get a paycheck, to put this show on the air, to continue the advocacy work that is clearly important to all of us. And amongst that group of people are certainly the Michigan Education Association, the American Federation of Teachers, the Michigan Nurses Association, the SEIU, the Teamsters, the United Food and Commercial Workers, and others, the Communication Workers of America, and I could go on. It's a blessing to have that kind of support as we put together this program on a daily basis. It makes my life a whole lot easier. I hope you're all doing well this morning. I have spent a great deal of time in contemplation yesterday. I spent a great deal of time in transition, and I spent a great deal of time in research. It's time really to turn up the volume on the issues and ideas that form the foundation of the program we call First Shift. And I have very much appreciated the input I have received from you. We are, again, asking, and today will be the last day, but you can certainly send them any time, to reach out to us, to let us know what you would like to see us cover on the program moving forward. A simple email to tony@thetonyshow.org does that. And I want to thank the dozens of you who have reached out to me, and I've made some, I'm happy to say, some new friends in the process, and appreciative of that. Let's take a look at what we have going on today. We really have an interesting mix of guests. Republican Ryan Fishman will be joining us. Ryan is the Vice President of Strategic Consultation at Steward Media Group, and that in and of itself doesn't do much for you, right? No light bulb goes off, but Ryan penned a op-ed in the Detroit Free Press this past weekend about why Republicans can't win the White House. Ryan is a very dedicated Republican, a very dedicated conservative, and I think that he is part of an age group that understands what must be done to change the brand. We'll talk to Ryan at 7 o'clock. Christine Gold joins us at 7:35. She's the Chief Development and Communications Officer for Home Free USA. If you were foreclosed on in 2009 or 2010, you have some freebies coming to you, including a free examination of the foreclosure process as it relates to your home and whether or not you were cheated. There is legal recourse and a reward if indeed you were not treated properly. We're going to tell you all about the government's help for foreclosed homeowners in the years 2009 and 2010. Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press, joins us at 8 o'clock, followed by Desiree Cooper, the communications director for Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan. Fran Brennan from Working America joins us. Now that the election is over, does not mean that they stop their purpose, but where do they go from here? What direction will they take, and what can we do to help them continue to grow? And we'll also talk to Frank Houston, chairman of the Oakland County Democratic Party, a series of articles written over the last week or so asking the question, why has Oakland County become more Democratic? Well, some of that has to do with its chairman and of the Democratic Party, and that would be Frank Houston. We've got him at 9:35, and we look forward to having him here. With that said, let's get going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
You know, today's first word should come as no surprise after my opening monologue, transition. A transition is a bridge. It takes us from where we are at to where we are going. Now, notice I didn't say where we want to be, but where we are going. It can be a bridge from where we're at to where we want to be, but a lot of that just depends on how prepared you are, how organized you are, how many people you have in your army. Not that we can't accomplish things by ourselves. Not that we don't go through personal transitions, because we do. You know, one of the real benefits of understanding the importance of a transition is that it is the vehicle that takes you to the next step. Now, if you're not careful, you can step down. If you're more deliberate and organized, you can step up. That, of course, is your choice alone. We always can include others in that process of the transition, and maybe it's just having company. That in and of itself is fine. But really, maybe it's about collective thought. It's about collective ideas. It's about filling the holes that are there that we don't see because we are in our own transition. None of us is an island. At the same time, depending on what we're working on, if it's a personal transition, if you're looking to go from being single to being married, or you're looking to go from being a part of labor to being a part of management, that transition in and of itself takes a required amount of preparation. Are you ready? Do you want to transition? Do you ever get pulled along into something without even realizing you were pulled into it? Yeah, you do. Frankly, you do. Society, through elections, provides a natural transition. The problem is, if you're not ready for it, if you don't agree with it, well, then that requires, again, choice. But that vehicle, that bridge, those things that take us from where we are to where we're going, where we are to where we want to be, must be deliberate, must be thoughtful, must be intelligent, and must be the profoundly important thing for us. Why? Because if you don't believe in it, it doesn't happen. I believe in self-fulfilling prophecy. I'll let you chew on that as we do future first words, but for now, just understand that transition is critical to change. With that said, today's word is, our first word is transition.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they try Red Wings.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
Yeah, absolutely. And let us say good morning and welcome back, Anthony, this morning. Good morning, gay. How are you?
Oh, good morning.
You ready for progress somewhere in the sports world today?
Yeah, we should have some good news to talk about, don't we?
What would that be?
Michigan and Michigan State both winning yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, Michigan, of course, the Michigan's got a real team this year, no question about it. The manhandled Cleveland State University last night, won by 29 points, I believe. By the way, I'm getting some sound in the background. Don't know what that is.
Yeah, I just figured that out.
Okay. You know, Michigan looks like the real deal. No question. They haven't really been challenged yet, as they are 3-0 on an early season. But man, they look impressive, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. They, look like, I mean, they've played nobody yet, but they, have done what they needed to do to be a top five team so far.
Yes, they certainly have. And, number 23, Michigan State plays number 7, Kansas, and, well, I got to tell you, I did not watch the game. Now, before I went to bed last night, they were doing that live blog thing on the Free Press, and it looked like Michigan State was doing well. I did not expect to wake up this morning to see that Michigan State won. Now, it wasn't a convincing win, but it was a hard-fought win, and I have to tell you, Tom Izzo has to be very pleased with the way his team played last night.
Yeah, we were just saying who was going to win the game, me and my buddies, and I was like, Izzo just does not lose after losing that, that big first game. He always comes back no matter who he plays, and he always seems to find that win. No matter what team he has that season, he just does it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. He's really quite a coach. You know, say what you want, but this guy is the real deal. And, you know, the reason I say that, Anthony, if you stop and look at where his players end up in professional basketball, they don't. I mean, by and large, they don't. And that says something about his program. He wins with guys that are not going to end up as pros. I think that's impressive.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, besides the exception of a few guys, I mean, most of them don't make long NBA careers.
No, and so it's quite impressive. All right, well, that's going to pretty much fill in our sports knowledge for this morning. Nothing happening in the world of football. Baseball, well, Tigers may sign Torrey Hunter, but we'll wait till we have some news on that. Hockey is still trying to figure out what they want to be or if they want to be. And the Pistons play the Philadelphia 76ers this evening, so tomorrow we'll talk about number 9. All right, that's being pessimistic. Let's take a break. Open lines till the top of the hour, so let's get it on. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. Good morning to you. Thanks for punching in. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
So far, you're looking good on your early morning commute. Just following road construction on 275 southbound between Ann Arbor Road and 94, reduced down to 2 lanes. Telegraph Road southbound at Maple, right lane is going to be closed until November 16th, so you can expect some delays in that area. Northbound 75 at 7 Mile, left lane is going to be closed starting at 9 a.m. And some good news, Michigan Avenue westbound, the ramp to 275 southbound, that will reopen today at 3 o'clock. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free, when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Again, we are open lines to the top of the hour. We've got some audio to get to in just a bit. Taking a look at what we have coming up in this lame duck session here at the state level and nationally. The fiscal cliff conversations continue. The president met with members of organized labor yesterday. Today he meets with members and leaders in the business community, CEOs from around the country, to talk about reality, to talk about compromise, to talk about, well, things that we're probably not going to know about. But that's okay. It's important that the president keeps that door open, that he continues to advocate for the majority of us. Interestingly, as we continue to look at post-election models, what ifs, and there are lots of what ifs, it seems clear that one thing is true, and we'll certainly talk to Ryan Fishman about this when we talk to him in the 7 o'clock hour, but it is true that a lot of people are very focused on the fiscal health of the country. Don't think Democrats don't pay attention to that stuff, and don't think that they're not mindful of where we're at. But we also need to be realistic and say Democrats are the only ones talking about revenue. And I've always said that. You can go back to, you can go back to our podcast page on the website and go back. We started back in May of 2011. You'll hear me talk about revenue way back then. I continue to understand why that is such an integral part of the bigger picture to solving some of our fiscal crisis. Now, we're not going to be able to get out of it until the economy turns around. We certainly can't tax our way out of it. That's true. But we can slow the bleeding and begin to suture the wound that continues to be running rampant after 8 years of George W. Bush and the neocon mentality that when you give to the rich, that they will somehow magically trickle down cash to the poor. We know that's not true. We know it's never been true, and yet it was still the centerpiece of Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan's plan to save the country. The reality, we talked about the first word being transition. The reality, you've heard that old cliche, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. That seems quite apropos here. I'm not trying to be disingenuous. I'm trying to be a realist. And when we start, or when we stop, I guess more appropriately, having discussions about how to truly fix things because we have to please a very small minority in our constituency that put us into power. Now, that's not as true for Democrats as it is for Republicans. As an example, if we were to break down campaign finance, I don't care, pick a candidate, it doesn't matter. The vast majority of Democrats get the smaller dollar donations. We saw that in the president's campaign, that he had, you know, more $200 and under donations than Mitt Romney did, but tenfold. What's the point of my saying that? Well, the point of my saying that is simple, that we are all beholden as politicians to those people that help put us in office, and especially financially. Whether we want to admit that publicly or not doesn't matter because it is the reality. And so when we take a look at what Republicans are obligated to do and who they're obligated to protect and who they need to count on to write checks to put them back into power, well, it's the wealthier people. Problem is, it's not working. In fact, whether we're talking about a constituency of Latinos or a constituency of wealthy people, it is clear that they're not winning the bigger war here because they're not winning the White House. Sure, they have Congress, but they got Congress in a tidal wave of change in 2010. Part of that is the president's fault. He wasn't progressive enough and didn't get his base energized enough in those midterm elections. I have a feeling that mistake doesn't get made again. And, of course, we are doing our very best to make sure that doesn't happen. But the people that the Republicans are beholden to are not any longer relevant. Oh, they're relevant to their pocketbooks, they're relevant to their campaigns, but they're not relevant to the electorate. And that in and of itself is problematic for Republicans. I'm not saying anything they don't already know. It's not like I'm some kind of brilliant genius on these issues. I'm not. I'm just reporting what I read, what I know, the research that I do. And at the end of the day, how they become relevant, again, as a conversation we'll save for 7 o'clock, but it is something they need to take a serious, serious look at. Because it doesn't serve the country well when just one political party seems to have it figured out. There is really something to be said for hearty debate with an exchange of ideas, ideologies, and philosophies. There is something powerful that happens in that, again, first word, transition. Problem is, the Republicans are mired in past beliefs that are so outdated now that even the majority of real Republicans, like my guest at 7 o'clock, see clearly the change that needs to be made. Listen, I, you know, as a passionate Democrat, as an activist, as a true liberal, as someone that believes in helping and being my brother's keeper and my sister's keeper, as somebody that truly believes that, that's willing to pay more in taxes, as I do, and I'm happy to do it, who understands the reality of what is stressing us, who wants stronger schools, even though my children are no longer in public education. Well, that's not entirely true, but I want stronger schools. I want stronger realities. I want a better community. I want safer. I want lots of things. And it takes money to get that. It also takes compromise and vision. Democrats have that. Republicans better figure it out because none of us are served well until the Republicans get their poop in a pile. Let's go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Welcome, Laura in Royal Oak. Good morning, Laura. Nice to hear from you again.
Hi, how are you, Tony?
Doing well, thanks.
Oh, no, I've taken a couple of days off, and the women are driving me crazy because now they're already in 2014 mode. The one thing I'm concerned with is the lack of knowledge and the importance that plays into the midterms. We know that the House of Representatives and the Senate have an election every 2 years, and it's important to take the opportunity that we have over the next 2 years to start educating everyone on the importance of the midterms. And with the Republican Party transitioning, or they need to transition, we also need to keep our guard up that they're real masters of telling you what you want to hear. And I'm afraid that even, you know, it's hard for a leopard to change its spots. And for them to actually conform to being in agreement with all of a sudden, okay, women's right to choose and the LG community, I'm sorry. It's going to take a few years, and actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely. Laura, we've got to get to the break. I'm going to respond to that, and thank you for your call. I'm going to respond to that on the other side of the break because you make some very profound points that we need to address. Yes, transition is critical, but it doesn't happen overnight. At least I don't think it does, but I'll have an example of maybe it can. 888-552-3595. Let's take the break here on First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
So far, you're looking good on your early morning commute. Just following road construction on 275 southbound between Ann Arbor Road and 94, reduced down to two lanes. Telegraph Road southbound at Maple, right lane is going to be closed until November 16th, so you can expect some delays in that area. Northbound 75 at 7 Mile, left lane is going to be closed starting at 9 a.m. And some good news, Michigan Avenue westbound, the ramp to 275 southbound, that will reopen today at 3 o'clock. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
The one and only Honey Baked. Only Honey Baked hams and turkey breasts are fire glazed and slow smoked. And only Honey Baked makes Thanksgiving this delicious and convenient. With new Honey Baked Express locations in Auburn Hills, Lapeer, and Waterford. For more Honey Baked Express locations or a store near you, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 42 degrees. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 47. And it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
They came, they spent, and they limped home, tails tucked between their legs. Okay, they didn't limp. They were flown home on their private Gulfstream jets, but still, their tails were tucked down in the defeat mode. They are the billionaire far-right corporate extremists who tried to be presidential kingmakers. Unleashed by the Supreme Court's Citizens United edict to spend unlimited sums of cash in this year's elections, they spewed money into efforts to enthrone Mitt Romney in the White House and turn the Senate into a GOP rubber stamp for totally corporatizing government. As they gathered at exclusive Romney victory parties on election night, however, the mood quickly soured. For key states were choosing Democrats. The people, damn them, seemed to be deliberately voting against the barons. Casino Baron Sheldon Adelson, for example, put down an obscene $60 million on 8 candidates and crapped out on all of them. Also, the uber-billionaire Koch boys reportedly amassed an arsenal of $400 million from their corporate vault and from other billionaires to knock off Obama. But at evening's end, there the president stood, re-elected with more than 56% of the electoral votes. And Bob Perry, another self-serving ultra-rightist billionaire, dumped $21 million into GOP super PACs, trying to win Senate races in Florida and Virginia, as well as the presidency. All for naught. Democrats not only gained 2 seats in the Senate, but such new senators as Elizabeth Warren, Tammy Baldwin, Heidi Heitkamp, Mazie Hirono, Joe Donnelly, Chris Murphy, and Martin Heinrich are expected to stand against the corporate kleptocracy that the barons were trying to buy. This is Jim Hightower saying, of course, the billionaires reckon that they just didn't spend enough this year. So look for even more obscenity in 2014 and 2016.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. Before I go back to the phones, just want to quickly respond to what Laura had to say. Yeah, Laura, the midterms are critical. And I'm going to suggest they're even more important than the presidential years because it's more difficult to get mostly Democrats to the polls. I'm not quite sure why that is, and I don't know what it takes to build that fire that gets people up and out on those midterm years. If we didn't learn anything from 2010, well, then I guess we'll never learn anything. But we slowly now have to turn back the hands of time, unelect some people that do not serve us well, and continue to be mindful that as frustrating as it might be for people, especially those that worked hard during the presidential election, that the work we need to do really is just beginning. And that is a reality. We cannot slow down. We cannot take 6 or 8 or 10 weeks off. We need to keep chugging along. 888-552-3595. Pete in Clawson joins us now. Good morning, Pete. Thanks for punching in with us. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Tony. I'm a new listener and obviously a first-time caller. So, we talked about before the break the transition, and I just find it interesting as far as transition. I think we both could agree that, you know, socially, things that are happening in this country have an economic effect on all of us, you know. With the things that happen in our personal lives, you were mentioning earlier on how one responds in his own life has a transitional effect on all of us. So I just find it interesting that looking back, comparing things from, 30 years ago, socially, we seem to be getting worse in our families and things are becoming more chaotic and complex. And I just find it interesting that over that time, I think we could say, or at least I believe, that we've come to be more liberal in those points of view than entrenching more conservative or traditional values. So it seems like the more we embrace these liberal values, the worst socially we're getting.
No, that's an interesting view, Pete. I have to tell you that I think part of the reason why we've become more socially liberal is a younger generation, those that are just coming into their voting years, or those that are within, let's call it 4 or 5 years of being able to vote, are more socially liberal. They are right. They're more open to LGBT issues. They don't have a lot of the hang-ups that my parents had, my grandparents had, or even people of my generation have, Pete. And so that's just a reality.
Well, I agree that tradition doesn't have a lot of flash, and people don't really like being told what to do or how to handle themselves. But I think, you could say it like this, that, as far as conservatism goes, not necessarily Republican, but as conservatism goes, I kind of see it as more kind of like an abstinence program that works every time it's used.
Huh, that's interesting. Pete, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening to the show. I appreciate you joining us. And I hope you continue to listen and continue to contribute. An interesting perspective, no question about it. Let's now go to another caller in Clawson. Mike joins us now. Good morning, Mike. Great to hear from you again.
Good morning, Tony. I want to harp on your question for the day about the right to work.
Yeah, that's our poll question of the day is, will we see right to work here in Michigan? It's on the Facebook page.
Yeah, well, I added my own comment. I don't know if you caught that.
I'll check it right now, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's going to be our next battle here in Michigan is the right to work. That's going to be the big one. It looks like from all the the internet posts and everything I catch are that the GOP has not learned anything. I see even in other states, they're like Ohio, the lame duck sessions are going to try to reintroduce abortion restrictions, and I suspect as the days proceed, we're going to find other states and their lame ducks they're still going to try the same old crap.
You know, Mike, what bothers me more than anything is the way the media has become an accomplice to the Republican Party. The media continues to stir the pot and to poke the pig. And I don't understand why the media does that. I don't understand why they don't just report the news instead of trying to influence it.
Well, I think that answer, Tony, is about the monopoly that the big corporations have over our media.
Yeah, it flummoxes me, Mike, in ways that I can't begin to understand. And I got to tell you, Mike, I'm insulted, and although I don't consider myself a journalist, I certainly am a member of the media, and it insults me the way they do everything from write headlines to write stories to conveniently ignore facts, and it just gets to the point where you just want to scream, will somebody please play by the rules? But I guess even the media doesn't feel like they need to play by the rules any longer.
Now, where's the Edward R. Murrow's or the Woodward and Bernstein? You know, they've gone.
Well, you know what? Yes, they have gone. And I don't know that, you know, people, and I think that cable, the 24-hour news cycles changed a lot. Think about having to fill all that time. Yeah, they're gonna start stretching it and twisting it and bending it and making issues out of issues that aren't there. Look what they're doing, Mike, with General David Petraeus right now. This isn't nearly as big a story as they want you to believe it is.
Yeah, I know. It's like making a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, well, they're very good at that. Mike, as always, appreciate the call and appreciate your time. 888-552-3595. I said yesterday, and actually got a handful of emails about this, I don't care about the General Petraeus story. I don't care that he had an affair. I do care that he resigned because he was very good at what he was doing. He had a vision for the CIA. Listen, you and I will never know what happens within the CIA unless we're a part of it, and we're not. I just see another solid citizen that let his penis get him in trouble. I don't get it. I just don't get it. And I certainly don't understand why, if you watch the cable news channels, they have psychologists on, they have celebrity guests. They dissect this thing from six different ways to Sunday. You know, we now know where his mistress worked, lived, shopped, was married to. I go on and on and on. Does it really matter? In the bigger picture, does it really matter? And by the way, folks, David Petraeus is a Republican. Was originally, as you know, appointed by President Bush. He and I philosophically have very little in common, but I do know that he was a good general, and he was a very good general and a very good CIA director. I just don't see, at the end of the day, how this ends up being news. Maybe somebody can explain it to me. Let's go back to the phones and welcome John in Auburn Hills. John, thanks so much for giving us a call this morning. Good morning to you. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. I love your cheerfulness. I'm a good friend of Charles Santangelo that you had on.
Oh, very good.
He's my best friend. I grew up with him in New York. But I heard a cute joke I have to share with you, sad but true. And that is the problem with all these generals is they're just taking too many orders from their privates.
Ba-dum-bum-ch. Yeah.
On that happy note, you have a great day.
Thank you, John. That was it. Okay, thanks, John. Appreciate it. Yeah, I just, again, it's just not something that I get, that I understand, that I guess ultimately that I care about, which is why you're not hearing a lot about it on this particular program. I spent a little time, I'm not going to lie to you, maybe 10 minutes yesterday getting caught up on it because I got to know what's going on. There's nothing new. It's much of it's rehashed and recycled. And, you know, before you know it, they're going to be talking to somebody's grade school boyfriend or girlfriend that will say in the sixth grade or the ninth grade, he cheated on her. Come on. Really? With all of the serious issues we have to deal with, I just find it astounding that this, for some reason or other, is capitalizing headlines right now. And I'm glad I'm not following it. And I'm hoping you're not either. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. Again, this is a media-produced story. They are directing the story. The media is directing the story. Does anybody see, like I do, how wrong that is? But it is what it is. And I don't know who's the biggest defender of it. I think that they're all equally. And that's the other thing, is that you almost get the impression with these cable news outlets, like they get really giddy. They're so happy when a sex scandal comes along. And let's, come on, we need to be honest about it. People love a good sex scandal. They love reading about it. When we were going through the whole Monica Lewinsky thing, they were literally selling records amount of newspapers, especially after they printed the deposition of President Clinton. Oh, my God, I hated those days. All right, quick break here. We'll come back and get to some audio, I promise. If you'd like to join us, though, that's the priority, 888-552-3595. And John, you need better jokes. You really need better jokes. We'll take a break. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. Let me go fill up my coffee, and we'll be back.
With Tony Truppiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now, director of Hellbound, Kevin Miller.
Yeah, well, definitely. And that's something I would say, is that this debate over hell, some people might say, I don't need to watch that film, I don't believe in hell. Well, in Hellbound, what we do is we draw a connection between what we believe in and the kind of world we create. And underlying every society is some form of worldview that is going to give rise to an internal set of values, which we externalize the laws and all that sort of thing. And so if the foundation of your worldview includes a God who ultimately uses violence as a problem solver, we're going to become a very violent people.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. As we were saying, the president met with labor leaders yesterday, unions from all over the country, to talk about the fiscal cliff, what needs to be done to fix the economy. And this clip, a courtesy of The Ed Show on MSNBC. Go ahead and roll it, guys.
President Obama came back to Washington to fight for fair deal on taxes. Today, he called on his base. I love it. He went right to the folks who put him in the White House. President Obama held his first official closed-door meeting with groups from outside the White House. He and the invited guests were all leaders of labor organizations and progressive think tanks. Compare this list to the guest list for tomorrow's meeting, 12 of the most powerful CEOs in American business. This schedule was not a mistake. President Obama was letting the middle class and the workers of this country know you come first. AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka is confident the president will keep his commitment to the current tax rates for the middle class.
The president led with that notion of protecting the middle class, and now you have Republicans that have it in their power. They could sign a bill tomorrow that protects the middle class, and we'll see what they can. Are we going to push them on that? Without a doubt, we're going to push them on that. Are we going to collectively stand up and make sure that workers get a fair shake in all of this? Absolutely we are. Do we believe that the president is committed to that same thing? Absolutely we do.
Details of the president's off-the-record meeting are emerging. The Huffington Post reports tonight President Obama said that he will not extend the Bush tax cuts for those at the top. I am not going to budge. I said it in 2010, and I'm not going to do it. I'm only going to do this once, and I meant it. The Huffington Post source said that the president seemed to agree that Social Security should not be part of any grand bargain because it didn't add to the deficit.
There we go. So that's how it begins. Now, he meets with the CEOs today, the president, that is, and we'll find out what comes from that tomorrow. All right, John Stewart, as he always does, has a fresh and unique way of looking at everything. And those of you that didn't hear that, the CEO of Papa John's has been bitching and moaning about Obamacare. Said he would have to lay workers off and raise the price of a pie 20 cents. Oh, amongst other things, wine. The Daily Show's Jon Stewart is only he can. Let's listen.
Papa John's CEO, well, he says the company may have to reduce worker hours to save money on health care.
No, not a Papa John's. Anybody but a Papa John's. I'd rather a Papa Nazi or the Papa Smear.
What's his problem?
The CEO says Obamacare will cost their chain up to $8 million a year and could force it to cut employee hours.
All right, that's not nothing. They are a $3 billion a year business for corporate and franchisees, but you got to find that $8 million somewhere, and it's not nothing. Okay, so let me just, I apologize. The pie is 10 bucks, I think, at Papa John's, and that's the equivalent of like a million pizzas. I mean, where are you going to find a million pizzas? That's...
What are we going to do to kick off this season?
Same thing as last season. 1 million free Papa John's pizzas.
Good idea. 2 million free pizzas. I like it.
No.
All season long, Papa John's has 2 million free pizzas.
I just have no idea how they're going to do this.
Hey, I know. Job creators.
Guys, I get it. Providing health care benefits to employees costs money. And as a group, you tend to prefer things that do not cost that. I watch Undercover Boss. But own your layoffs and your policies. Let's stop pretending that suddenly, with this election, bosses have been transformed into reluctant ass.
Obamacare is just the latest excuse to wriggle out of the social contract. For many years now, full-time benefits like sick days, maternity leave, pensions, lunch hours, chairs have disappeared by magically transforming full-time workers into independent contractors or part-time 20-year temp help. Want to avoid paying half of your employees' Social Security tax? Reclassify them as independent contractors so they pay it all themselves. Make them fill out a 1099. That's not a full-time busboy. That's Wanco LLC. Don't forget to invoice us, Wanco. So let's cut the, I'd love to be able to give employees health care. I just can't. Let's face the facts. Pizza and coal companies are just unlucky enough to have a labor force that can't be outsourced. You happen to be in one of the few industries that still has to hire Americans. I'm sure if you could outsource your pizza making to China, Papa John's would quickly become a Papa John's. Not that you guys don't have a legitimate gripe against this president. If Obama had fought harder for single-payer health care, business owners like you would never have to pay another premium in their life. You could stuff your pizza crust with money. Still sell them for $10. And if Obama banned natural gas fracking, then coal wouldn't be getting its ass kicked in the, what's it called again? Free market. So maybe next time, take all the millions you donated for partisan political purposes and pump it back into the type of healthcare advances that may ultimately increase business productivity. And then we can just finally keep pizza out of politics.
I'll imagine that. How is it that John Stewart always finds a way to make everything make so much sense? Well, again, our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day today. Ask the question about right to work. Will Michigan, or do you believe Michigan will become a right-to-work state after a proposal to failed to pass? There's a lot of discussion about right-to-work. We've had it on this very show for months now, and it'll be something that we'll be revisiting over and over again. And this, according to WDIV Channel 4, on whether or not Michigan will become a right-to-work state.
When Governor Snyder took office, he had no intention of pursuing right-to-work for Michigan. He said there were too many other issues to be dealt with first and told the legislature to stand down. Labor decided to move ahead and float Proposal 2 anyway, igniting an ugly political fight. Prop 2 would have enshrined collective bargaining rights in the state constitution, and it crashed and burned spectacularly on Election Day.
The notion that they could get this enshrined in the Michigan Constitution was incredibly short-sighted and incredibly flawed.
After that failure, there is movement in Lansing to pass right to work, and it's more than a possibility. Sources tell me legislators are already hard at work drafting it. Could we see a Michigan where you're no longer forced to join a union?
The question is, does the governor sign it, number one? Number two, you would look at immediate recalls in the state Senate. And I think they are overreaching here.
DeSano shared this polling with me, which shows people may not have supported Prop 2, but that doesn't mean they support right to work. They had a sample of 500 Michiganders questioned. Bottom line tonight, the road ahead on this issue will be anything but easy and pretty.
It gets incredibly ugly. You're going to see recall efforts all throughout 2013. You'll probably see a ballot initiative in 2014 designed to drive up a Democratic base in an off-year election. It will get incredibly ugly.
All right. Well, very quickly, before we break for the top of the hour, the one flaw, did anybody catch it? The one flaw in that piece, you're not forced to join a union now. How is it that, again, legitimate or supposedly legitimate members of our media continues to get this story wrong? All right, when we come back, Ryan Fishman, why it's tough to be a Republican right now. We got a lot to get to today, so stay punched in because you're going to miss a lot if you walk away. I'm Tony Truppiano, NBC News coming up. We'll be back.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways, let's head over to 75 northbound just before Dearborn Street. Your right lane's closed until 6 p.m. on Friday. Woodward Avenue, both directions between 8 Mile and Big Beaver Road. Watch out for moving lane closures. That's scheduled until 3 p.m. today. and 96 westbound at Kent Lake Road. A single lane closure starts at 7 a.m. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 42 degrees. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 47. And it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. A cliffhanger in Washington. President Obama and Congress this week begin negotiations on averting the so-called fiscal cliff of automatic spending cuts and tax hikes. White House spokesman Jay Carney says the president wants to cut a deal.
He looks forward to the meeting with leaders in Congress. He has some very clear principles and positions that he's taking into that meeting and believes that compromise is possible.
The Wall Street Journal says the president will ask for $1.6 trillion more in revenue, twice the level of last year's failed budget talks. President Obama today holds his first news conference since winning re-election. He'll be pressed about Friday's resignation of CIA Director David Petraeus and the widening scandal over Petraeus's extramarital affair. And if you're hitting the road for Thanksgiving, you'll have plenty of company. AAA says nearly 44 million people will travel at least 50 miles for the holiday weekend, even though budgets are said to be tighter this year. This is NBC News Radio. Thousands are still powerless in New York and New Jersey, the legacy of Superstorm Sandy. And that includes a lot of gas stations as well. NBC's Ann Thompson.
New Jersey ended its gas rationing program. However, Staten Island and throughout New York City, gas rationing remains in effect because only 60% of the city's gas stations are open.
A new study says the prescription for better health care is more doctors. Stats show millions of Americans might not have access to adequate health care if the U.S. doesn't add 52,000 MDs to the health care system by 2025. Wall Street coming off a bearish day with stock futures pointing to a higher open. Facebook offering more shares today. And say it ain't so, pundits, but some are already speculating on the 2016 presidential race, writing that it's not too early to start thinking about the next campaign. The Buffalo News has endorsed Hillary Clinton as the Democratic nominee for president. No comment yet from Joe Biden. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Mike Rowe here at a Ford dealer with a little Q&A for Fiona. According to the signs, Ford is having some sort of big tire event. How would you describe the event?
It's big.
The savings one might enjoy at the event.
They're big.
What about the selection?
Big.
Get a $60 mail-in rebate on four select tires. Use the Ford service credit card for an extra $60.
So I think we can agree then that Ford's tire event is good sized.
No, Michael. It's big.
Subject to credit approval, rebate by check. Offer cannot be combined. See participating Ford dealer for rebate and other offer details through 11/30/12.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
And right now, get 50% off photo cards and invitations. No coupon needed. Limited time only. Details in-store and at staples.com. Staples. That was easy.
When it comes to sales, analyst reviews, and just plain hype, the Samsung Galaxy S3 smartphone is the chief competitor of Apple's iPhone right now. And this coming weekend, you can get the S3 for free. Of course, a couple of strings attached. T-Mobile is making the offer, and you need to sign up for a classic contract as opposed to the value contract. And more than technically free, it's a full rebate from T-Mobile. More Americans are finding non-traditional ways to get their financial services, and many don't even have a home bank anymore. Enter the retailer, Costco offering mortgages and homeowners insurance, Walmart with life insurance, Home Depot offering home improvement loans. New York Times says regulators and consumer advocacy groups are becoming nervous about this trend because current regulations don't hold retailers to all the same rules as they hold traditional companies. Stock futures gaining. S&P futures right now up 5 points, NASDAQ futures up 15, Dow futures up more than 40. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
My Mercedes-Benz dealership has a courtesy car waiting for me. It's easy for me
to come in. They always use Mercedes-Benz genuine parts.
and they always have my favorite coffee. I just feel so comfortable.
Personal attention and exceptional customer care. As a Mercedes-Benz owner, it's what you deserve and what you'll get.
My smooth ride.
My genuine sense.
My comfort zone. My service.
To learn more, visit mbusa.com/myservice.
Services vary. Available at participating dealers.
I want my company's network to be safer and more reliable.
Do you want to deal with multiple vendors?
No.
Are per-user fees and added feature costs okay?
No.
How about solutions that are hard to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Networks offers the largest family of powerful, affordable security, networking, and storage solutions designed to protect business users, apps, and data, all from a single source that's easy to do business with. Protect your business. Visit barracuda.com/products to try any free for 30 days.
Nerlman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Nerlman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Managing your own business takes a number of essential apps.
I think I have every one of them.
One is all you need.
Yeah, the contact managing one, the project tracking one, the work sharing one, and the client billing one.
No, just the all-in-one.
Which one?
Sage One, a simple web app that puts it all together for business.
That one.
The only one.
How do I get one?
Visit sagetoday.com for your 30-day free trial of Sage One.
Nice one.
That's sagetoday.com.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality, maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 14th, 2012. Very much looking forward to this hour as we've got a lot of great stuff to present to you. I want to remind you, at the bottom of the hour, Christine Gold will be joining us. She is with a company called Home Free USA. There is a program out there that many of you, especially those in foreclosure in the years 2009 and 2010, are probably not aware of, that will actually give you free analysis of the way your foreclosure was handled, and you may be due some compensation. And I said free. That's right, free. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But I turn my attention now to an op-ed that was in this weekend's Detroit Free Press. The guest commentary is titled, Why Can't Republicans Figure Out How to Win the White House? And joining us now is Ryan Fishman. Ryan's in Birmingham. He describes himself as a lifelong Republican who grew up in a family of Democrats, the poor guy. He is the vice president of strategic consultation at Steward Media. And, Ryan, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning, and thanks for spending some time with us.
Tony, don't you want to know what they did wrong?
Oh, I think we can probably have that discussion. I think we know what they did wrong. I got to tell you, of course, you know I'm very liberal. I know you're very conservative. But you and I are going to agree on a lot of stuff this morning. And I want to start with this, Ryan. I was talking about this in the last hour. In order to have, I think, real hearty debate, in order to find true compromise, in order to plug a lot of holes that we have in our economic system, in our social system, and so on and so forth, we need two vibrant and relevant parties. And I don't think we have two vibrant, relevant parties right now. Your thoughts on that?
I think the problem with the modern Republican Party and the modern Democratic Party, too, because both parties are sort of doing the exact same thing, is they're shifting to the ends of the spectrum. They don't see that they're going to win in their primaries if they're trying to come to the middle. And so what you wind up with is a lot of candidates on the left and the right who have made erratic promises to people that, frankly, they can't keep for the sake of our stability, for the sake of bipartisanship, for the sake of moving forward. And the debate has become
very odd. And it's not about the issues, and it's not about how we fix our problems. It's all about catering to fringe players. And I think if we can fix that in both parties, or at least try to move both parties forward to the middle, we can start to solve the problems that we have. And then after that, maybe we can go back and have some of these ancillary discussions.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about your party. And actually, you say, and this was a really well-written piece, Ryan. I really enjoyed your analysis. And you say that you actually maybe consider yourself more a conservative than a Republican. How hard was that to write?
You know, it wasn't that difficult, because this is something that's gone on in my head for a few years. You know, first, I'll say this. I go back to, yes, being a lifelong Republican in the House of Democrats, my mom an MEA teacher for 40 years, so that's why I write so well. I have to credit the Democrats for that. But ultimately, and I worked on George Bush's campaign in 2004. I was there through 2008, and then there was a lot of this sort of religious right sort of bubbling up and coming through in it. And it came up really 2006, those midterm elections, and I had questions about my faith in the Republican Party. And then after 2008, when the Tea Party resurfaced, a lot of people will disagree with me on this point, maybe not Democrats, but the Tea Party, I don't think, was any re-embodiment of great economic principles. It was another way for the religious right to repackage itself and say the exact same things, but with a new brand and a new identity. It worked. It was hot. It was fresh. It brought people into the fold. But now we have this ongoing battle to keep pushing our party farther and farther out to the religious spectrum. So it's not so difficult for me to say. I've really come to terms with this over the last 5, 6, 7 years, the fact that the Republican Party is moving in a direction that I'm not particularly fond of. But having said that, I'm still, in my mind, closer to a Republican the way, let's say, Ronald Reagan might have called himself a Republican, or the way Abraham Lincoln might have called himself a Republican. Small government and solving the problems in our country through small government, less intrusion into the fiscal system. And frankly, as I wrote in the column, big government doesn't need to come up because our church disagrees with the way people's social morality and values are going. We don't have to grow the size of government because we don't like what somebody else does in our own home. We just have to preach at home what we want our family to be, and that's how you preserve that part of the party's values.
Wow. The Republican Party needs to hire you as their chief strategist, because everything you've just said made way too much sense, Ryan. I think that's, and again, that's as true on the Democratic side. I think one of the things that Democrats have perhaps figured out better than Republicans is we don't necessarily feel like we've got to agree on everything, and we don't. Republicans, especially whatever we want to call the current day Republican Party, and I really noticed this the last 8 or 10 weeks of the campaign, if you don't agree with everything that's being said on the Republican side, then you're just not a Republican. And I think ultimately that hurt the brand in a pretty fantastic way. Listen, whether we can argue whether or not the president received a mandate on Election Day, whether that's true or not, but one thing we cannot debate is that the Republicans lost the White House on Election Day.
I think fundamentally, you make a very valid point. And as a matter of fact, when I was still in your business a few years ago after the 2008 election, I had a conversation with James Carville, who, you know, love him or hate him, Republicans, a lot of them don't like him. He made a very, very valid point along those lines, and his was, after a presidential election or any major election season loss, the Democrats sort of do this thing where they go out in a field somewhere and they sing Kumbaya and they figure out how they're going to work together for the next 4 years. And the Republicans start cutting heads off, and everybody wants to fight, and everybody wants to blame each other, and nobody can sort of work together. And having had some campaigns in this election cycle that I worked on and then we lost, one of the things that we found it most important to do afterwards was sit down and figure out what did we do wrong and what did we do right the next time. And that, I think, is the fundamental thing Republicans failed to do. And it's unfortunate, because if we did sit down and analyze why we weren't successful and how we move forward together and in a positive way, we might be turning one election cycle loss into three election cycle wins. But we seem to struggle with that. And ultimately, the worst thing that we could continue to do now is splinter and move right. If the Republicans don't move center now and work with Democrats and work with the president and solve the problems we have, there's no chance of success in four more years because nobody will trust us.
Wow. Well, no, there's a statement. Kind of made me a little speechless there, Ryan Frischman. All right. So here's the question. Do you envision that the John Boehner led House and the Mitch McConnell led Senate will do exactly what you just said? Will they work with their colleagues? Will they work with the president? Do they understand the reason they did not win is because America doesn't see them as being willing to compromise?
I hope so. I can't promise anything, but I certainly hope so. And I think the place to start, frankly, is, and I know this is sort of a tough matzo ball for people to swallow, but I think the place to start is having Democrats who are centrists, guys like Gary Peters, who I personally vote for and support. I actually can't anymore because I was gerrymandered out of his district. But there are a lot of great moderate Democrats in the House and in the Senate, the former statesmen, if you will, that I don't want to say Ted Kennedy necessarily, but, you know, these iconic sort of members of the House and Senate leaders were moderate people who knew how to build relationships across the aisle. What we need to do is have guys like Gary Peters try and reach their hand out and find partners in the Republican Party, because they're so good at doing that, and convince those guys that we have to work together. And then I think there is a job to be done at the top, and I think I've heard John Boehner and Mitch McConnell say this in the last few days. It's time for us to figure out how we're going to sit at the table and what we're going to do. If we don't do that, that's the end of the modern era of leadership. And I think it's a question of job security. If I was a Republican in the House or Senate right now and worried about reelection in another 2 years or 4 years, I'd be thinking about how I'm going to get reelected, because as a political strategist, I always think about how people get reelected. And my thought, my point to anybody would be, you've got to make yourself look like somebody who's willing to go to Washington and work, because the approval ratings are at an all-time low. And the reason is people think that people in politics don't want to work on anything.
Now, unfortunately, Ryan Frischman, there's a great deal of truth to what you've just said. I don't imagine, as liberal as I am, I also understand the reality of our economy. I also understand the reality of policy. I also understand the fiscal the cliff that we truly are on. This is not a made-up subject matter. We have trillions of dollars of debt. It's not going to get better. We do have to look at creative ways to solve problems, but we also need to be able to have a discussion about it without the fringes on either side trying to co-opt the message and make it sound like if we don't do it their way, then we have committed some kind of serial murder, because that doesn't promote any idea that matters. Ryan, stay with us. We've got to take a quick break here. Much more to get to after we take the break. I want you to notice we have not once had this question. Was this Mitt Romney's fault? I'm not sure it was. 888-552-3595 if you want to join us. Ryan Frischman, my guest. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill.
You just picked up a couple of accidents on your drive. First one's over on DeQuinder southbound between 12 Mile and 11 Mile. Accident has both lanes blocked and traffic is getting by in the left turn lane only. And on 275 northbound in Michigan Avenue, accident has your right shoulder blocked. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Poole.
Need plans for lunch? Stop into Qdoba and get your meal queso-fied. For a limited time, Qdoba is offering their one-of-a-kind three-cheese queso on any burrito absolutely free. Just ask to have your burrito queso-fied, and you'll see why bacon's got nothing on queso.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 42 degrees. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 47. It's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. My guest is Ryan Fishman. Ryan is a vice president of strategic consulting at Steward Media and author of the op-ed, Why Can't Republicans Figure Out How to Win the White House? Ryan, you know, my next question to you is kind of twofold. That's a big question to ask. Why can't they win? But let's start with branding, something you know a little bit about. Obviously, the Republican brand is not what it once was. And when we break down demographics from the election, we know that there are a lot of, and this is not a racial statement, but there are a lot of white men within the Republican Party. But they're not appealing to minorities. They're not appealing to Latinos. They're not appealing to African Americans. We, in fact, a couple weeks ago, had a documentary filmmaker on that did a film called Fear of a Black Republican. And if we had more time, I'd go into that in greater detail. But let's talk about branding. Is that the first battle, is rebranding the Republican Party?
I think that's certainly a place to start, but you can't just rebrand without actually changing the way that we do business. And I know one of your questions is going to be, is Mitt Romney to blame? But I don't think he is necessarily for the reason we lost. But I would say one reason we lost is we didn't make that fundamental reach to communities that are minorities where we could have given them a chance at descriptive representation. What I mean by that is, had Mitt Romney gone with Marco Rubio instead of Paul Ryan, he would have made a fundamental step for the Republican Party to show that it's not just about white men, it is about everybody. And here's a young, fresh leader from the state of Florida, a swing state, not like Wisconsin, where he maybe could have garnered some votes. So even as a strategic position, I think it would have made more sense. But ultimately, yes, if you look at the numbers, Mitt Romney didn't do as poorly as John McCain did with women, but it still was a double-digit drop-off from where the president was both 2008 and 2012. The Republicans have to reach out to women, and I can't tell you how many times, even working with a pro-choice Republican running in a Republican primary, six candidates, so the guy was the only pro-choice option, we had so much trouble getting crossover voters, particularly women, because they said, I've foreclosed on your entire party. I'm not interested. This could be the greatest leader in the world, but I have no interest in voting for a Republican. It's not going to happen. So we have to get over the hump with women. We certainly have to get over the hump with African Americans, because African Americans and Latinos are our largest growing minorities. And that means instead of saying we're keeping everybody out, we need to, sure, beef up border security, but we also need to reform the immigration process for the people that are already here. And for African Americans, it's not about cutting welfare or cutting Social Security. It's about reconfiguring those programs. So, for example, adding drug tests to them and making sure that the money is going to people who are using it so they can rebuild their families and move forward. You know, the problem is the Republicans say cut, 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 and no new taxes, and those were great strategies in 1985 and 1990, but now we're at a fiscal cliff where if I was a new business, or I shouldn't say new business, if I was an established business and I said, I just want to cut my biggest source of revenue, because that's where the government's money comes from, is taxes, and not have any way to supplant that amount of money, it wouldn't make any sense to anybody fiscally, and that's why I'm surprised Republicans would make that sort of statement today.
How do Republicans deal with the Aikens and Murdochs of the world, where you know they are, you know, the Mitt Romney certainly had challenges with what was happening beneath him and things that were totally out of his control, but when you don't denounce something or you don't walk away from something, as women were continuing to see this spiral out of control where the candidate could have taken control of a conversation and just chose to ignore it. The whole 47% video and how that became its own story. First, we deny it, then we agree that it was inappropriate. There were a lot of mistakes, but I don't believe that's why the Republicans lost the White House. I do think it's a foundational difference in an ideology that America is just moving beyond it. And Ryan, I've got to ask you. Well, I guess we'll get to that first, and then I've got to ask you about your demographic, because I think your demographic is the demographic the Republican Party is ignoring. But let's start with that. How do you deal with those fringe people like Aiken and Murdoch in your party that make it impossible, as you said, to find that crossover vote?
It's incredibly difficult because there are a lot of people like Todd Aiken out there in the Republican Party. They're not all necessarily elected to office, but they agree with the philosophy, and it's the philosophy that has to change. Obviously, there's a lot of scientists in the world that would say the Republicans don't know what they're talking about on more issues than just legitimate rape, but we have to fix the problem by making it clear at the top that, for example, I mean, I know there are Republicans who are going to fundamentally disagree with this, but for example, that if we were in the White House, we weren't going after Roe v. Wade. You know, we were going to let that battle die. That's certainly what I would suggest. But we have these guys, the Todd Aikens of the world, and even the Paul Ryans. I mean, Paul Ryan in Congress, and I can't defend this in good conscience, did vote and work to shrink the definition of there's the dollars from the government that go to certain abortion cases, and he wanted to shrink that from all cases of rape to only cases of forcible rape. I mean, that's a little difficult to defend when it's your vice president on the ticket, and that's why I think we didn't necessarily see Mitt Romney, who, you know, we could debate this all day, but I think the guy was pro-choice before. He's probably still pro-choice now. He sort of had to stick that in the closet to get through the primary, but I just couldn't see where he was going to make any sort of move on abortion because Paul Ryan was so adamantly not only pro-life, but pro-life in circumstances of rape. And seemingly, I would assume, his right-to-life requests in all circumstances because it's God's will.
All right, and we've got very little time left. Let's talk about the demographic you represent. I believe that that's where the Republican Party needs to live. And in many ways, Ryan, I'm going to suggest that your demographic is much more socially liberal. I'm not saying liberal. I'm saying socially liberal. And as a result of that, LGBT issues don't bother you the way they did your fathers and grandfathers, and I could go on and on and on. Do you believe that they need to find a way to attract you and people like you?
Yes, and I don't think it's just young people. I mean, certainly I'm young for a Republican, but it's a lot of businessmen across this country. Particularly, you see this in the Jewish faith, because we don't put the same, even the Orthodox Jews don't put the highest priority on all circumstances of abortion, for example. But there's a lot of businessmen in this country who don't care about the social issues. They don't want the government to waste their time. They don't want to be taxed to have to deal with it. What they want the government to focus on is, number one, the economy, and number two, national security. So preserving what's going on inside our country and then making a difference outside our country. And I think you would see some of the top guys on the Forbes list in this country who are Republicans say the exact same thing. For me, it's about business first. And that's one of the things I said in my column. Yeah, sure, I voted with my checkbook, and I have Democrat friends, my closest friend would say, you have to vote with your conscience. You have to vote with your heart. Unfortunately, in this election, I didn't make that decision, but I think the Republican Party has to move to a place where it really is the party of small government. And I know you call it socially liberal to be pro-choice and to support gay marriage, but I think that ultimately is even more conservative, because we're saying we don't want the government to play a role there.
And I can't disagree with that, Ryan. We're just out of time. I have a feeling we'll be visiting again. I can't thank you enough for this conversation to be continued, my friend.
Absolutely.
All right, Ryan Fishman, once again. We've got to get to a break. Christine Gold with Home Free USA on the other side. Please stay with us. We're just up against it.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
You just picked up a couple of accidents on your drive. The first one's over on DeQuinder southbound between 12 Mile and 11 Mile. Accident has both lanes blocked. The traffic is getting by in the left turn lane only. And on 275 northbound in Michigan Avenue, accident has your right shoulder blocked. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's today, and when you pick up $10 worth of McDonald's Arch Cards for anyone on your holiday list, you'll enjoy a free medium McCafe drink for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 42 degrees. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 47, and it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Members of Congress, listen up as you get back into session. The people have spoken, and here's what they told you on taxes, Social Security, Medicare, the national debt, and the so-called grand bargain. A Hart Research Associates poll done November 5th and 6th revealed two very strong messages from voters. The rich need to pay more taxes, their fair share of taxes, and Social Security and Medicare should be protected from cuts. Pollster Guy Molyneux.
You can see by an even more overwhelming margin, voters were saying they want to protect Social Security and Medicare from cuts, not that they were looking to reduce spending on those programs in service of deficit reduction. So defense of the safety net was perhaps an even more strong consensus than the need to raise taxes on the wealthy and corporations.
Voters do want Medicare to negotiate the price of prescription drugs to save money that way. Molyneux says that voters overwhelmingly said no to raising the Social Security retirement age, and just 16% support a grand bargain that overhauls the tax code, cuts Social Security and Medicare, and reduces the budget deficit. Molyneux also says that polling results show Democrats won decisively on the issue of taxes.
American voters were saying that for the first time, really, in my memory, Democrats had won the tax issue. What had been probably the most important issue for Republicans for over a generation now, the issue of taxes, worked for the benefit of Democrats in this election cycle. We asked voters, were you trying to send the message that we want to make sure the wealthy start paying their fair share of taxes? 62% of American voters said that was the message they were trying to send. Only 33% agreed with Mitt Romney that we should be trying to reduce tax rates on taxpayers at all income levels.
Walmart warehouse workers in Mira Loma, California will be staging a one-day walkout on Thursday.
The workers are trying to get the company's attention so it will address what they allege to be unsafe working conditions. The workers are employed by Ware Staff, a warehouse staffing company that supplies workers for warehouse work. However, as a Walmart contractor, the workers say the world's largest retailer could put pressure on the contractor to improve working conditions. Thursday's strike action could be a preview of a nationwide Walmart walkout at stores across the country on Black Friday. Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, is often the biggest shopping day of the year. A number of organizations are seeking to make the strike viral, using the internet to spread the word. There's even an online option to sponsor Walmart workers who go out on strike so they don't lose out on all of their wages. This newscast is made possible in part through underwriting from the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and by OPEIU, the Office and Professional Employees International Union. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock, and as we transitioned into the next guest, for those of you that went into foreclosure in the years 2009 and 2010, well, there have been lots of problems. Many of them have been documented in the news, both print and radio, also on certainly television. And many of you feel lost. Some of you that were foreclosed on or the foreclosure process began in 2009 and 2010 are continuing to have issues. These are not seemingly easily resolved. Now, we complicate that with, you know, this mortgage company being purchased by this mortgage company. Then we see lawsuits flying left and right. We know that we've had very challenging times communicating with mortgage servicers. And it gets confusing and daunting, and it seemingly is an impossible maze to work your way through. Well, especially those of you that are in that situation, 2009 to 2010, we have some very good news for you. Pay attention. You're going to want to hear this. Joining us now is Christine Gould. Christine is the Chief Development and Communications Officer for Home Free USA. She joined this organization in 2004. And is responsible for developing and maintaining strategic partnerships, alliances, and business opportunities for Home Free. She's here today to talk to us about a free government program that I'm guessing you probably don't know about. Well, that's about to change. Christine, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you so much, Tony, for having me. I really appreciate it. This is a wonderful program, and people really, really need to know about it, particularly since the deadline for it is coming up very soon.
Yes, very, very soon. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of this program, tell us a little bit about Home Free USA.
Well, Home Free USA is one of the leading HUD intermediaries. That means that we are responsible for overseeing and building the capacity of a network of 60, more than 60 now, community-based housing counseling agencies around the country. So all of us are working together serving the home ownership needs of more than 4 million homeowners and home buyers and other consumers out there who are looking to improve their financial situation.
Very good. Well, let's talk. And again, we are speaking specifically about 2009-2010. Christine, why just those 2 years?
Well, you may recall, you know, we've been in this foreclosure morass for quite a long time. The Center for Responsible Lending reports that by the end of this year, more than 9 million foreclosures will have occurred nationwide. You know, locally, some communities have been harder hit. I don't really have to reiterate all of that. Everybody knows the situation more than well enough. But we all are very familiar with the reports of and the news stories about some of the bad practices that the banks engaged in early on in the foreclosure crisis. Those practices included robo-signing. You know, that's a term everybody's fairly familiar with. Instead of having someone specific look at on a case-by-case basis, the foreclosure, and approving it. It just went through an automated process. So that was one of the types of things that occurred back in that during that time. The bank regulators have stepped in, however, and they're going through all of those files that were foreclosed on or were in a foreclosure process between January 1, 2009 and December 31, 2010. And they've required 14 of the mortgage servicers and their affiliated companies to allow their customers to request an independent foreclosure review.
All right, and this is of course where the good news comes in, because this is not something that will cost people money. That is the free service that we've mentioned, correct?
That's absolutely right. This review is completely free. The purpose of it is to review the eligible borrowers. To provide the eligible borrowers with the opportunity to request an independent review. If the review finds that a financial injury occurred as a result of errors or misrepresentations or other deficiencies in the foreclosure process, the borrower may receive compensation or other remedy. So this is really, really good news for the borrowers. So you have to be eligible, and one of the eligibility criteria is that you were in the foreclosure process, as we've mentioned, between 2009 and December 31st, 2010, that your mortgage was with one of the participating mortgage servicers, and that the home was your primary residence. So that just gets you in the game. You can request a review by calling a toll-free number or going to independentforeclosurereview.com and getting additional information.
What is the number that they can call, Christine?
That toll-free number is 855-778-0855. So I'll say that again. It's 855-778-0855. And the website is independentforeclosurereview.com, all three words.
Okay, Christine Gould again, my guest. She is with Home Free USA. I know one of the questions, and I have a list in front of me, what servicers are the ones that are on the list? And that would be, of course, a natural question. And the servicers and their successors and affiliates, by the way, include America Servicing Company, Aurora Loan Services, Bank of America, Beneficial, Chase, Citibank, City Financial, City Mortgage, Countrywide, EMC, Everbank, Everhome Mortgage Company, GMAC Mortgage, HFC, HSBC, Indy Mac Mortgage Services, MetLife Bank, National City, PNC, Sovereign Bank, SunTrust Mortgage, U.S. Bank, Wachovia, Washington Mutual, and Wells Fargo. Folks, it's all on the website. Don't worry about it. I didn't expect everybody, but I'm sure if you heard your mortgage servicer on that list and you were placed into foreclosure between the years 2009, the beginning of 2009, and the end of 2010, your radar's up right now, Christine. You are seeing an opportunity, are you not?
Absolutely. This is a wonderful opportunity to get, you know, people, you know, foreclosure is an awful process. It damages families. It damages communities. People are felt, you know, are left feeling hurt and abused for years after. And this is an opportunity to have someone independently look at your foreclosure file and see if you were injured in some way that you should not have been. Now, it is very important that people understand that they must request this review before the end of this year. So your request for review must be submitted by December 31st, 2012.
All right, and let's be clear on this, Christine. The request needs to be in by the end of the year. It may take some time before your request is received and they start work on it, but as long as you make the request by the end of the year, you're good to go.
You're absolutely good to go. Just get it in by the end of the year. And this is a really good time to talk about this, because there are a lot of people out there who are eligible for this review. And right now, we are right in this period where letters were sent out on at least a couple of occasions from the administrators letting people know that they were eligible for this review. And that letter explained the review and included a request for review form. We've received some responses, but not nearly the number of responses that we can and we should and that are available to be received. This is a great time, Tony, to talk about this because another batch of letters is dropping as we speak. So this, from today through the next 2 days, they'll be dropping more than 4.3 million letters in the mail to people who may be eligible for the review. So people need to look out in their mailbox. If they think that they were, you know, they're part of this eligible population, they need to be looking in their mailbox to see if they get a claim form. And if they don't stop there. Go to the website, call the 800 number. If you think you're part of this eligible population, find out if you are as soon as you possibly can and get your review form in before the end of the year.
Christine, what happens once you go through that review process and how do they go? Do you have to provide them with the documentation or is that something that they find out independently of you?
Well, they're going to find a lot out independently of you, but as much information as the homeowner or the borrower can give just makes will help the review go more expeditiously. It'll just, you know, be able to target in exactly on what the situation was. If it was that the bank charged excessive fees or more fees than you know, the borrower felt should have been charged, then the reviewers will take a specific look in that area. Now, that's not to say that that's all they'll look at. They're going to look at this file and scrub it from top to bottom. These are independent consultants that have been hired by the bank. The federal regulators said they had to bring in neutral third parties to do these reviews. So the claim form does have a series of questions, yes, no type questions, and they've got a section for you to fill in the blank, you know, write a little narrative about what your experience was. If you want to submit documentation, you can do that too. But as little as you put in or as much as you put in, your review will occur and it'll be a top down, inside out, sideways, back and forth scrub down of your file to see exactly how your foreclosure went through its process.
All right, Christine, I'm going to ask you to stay with us. We have to get to a break. Christine Gould, again, my guest. She's with Home Free USA. The website, independentforeclosurereview.com, and the toll-free number, 855-778-0855. We'll take a quick break, come back, and talk to Christine Gould right after this.
My point is to Republican adults, when 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth.
On 1310 WDTW.
No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off. than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million, and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think, where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It just certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before 8 o'clock, I'll remind you, my guest is Christine Gould. Christine is the Chief Development and Communications Officer for Home Free USA. There is a free service to you. If you are in foreclosure, we're in foreclosure between the years 2009 and 2010, from the first day of January to the last day of December, from 2009 to 2010, you are in foreclosure, we're in foreclosure, we're foreclosed on. You have a free review of that process coming to you. And a couple different ways to plug into that. You can go online and look up independentforeclosurereview.com or simply call this toll-free number, 855-778-0855. Christine, if when people start to go through this process, once they are accepted for the review process, and it is found to have been corrupt in some way, for lack of a better phrase or term, what could potentially happen? Could they be compensated for these failures? What happens at that point?
Yes, that's the wonderful part about this. If the review finds that there was an injury or an error in the foreclosure process, the borrower, the homeowner, is eligible for compensation from $500 up to $125,000 plus the equity that they may have had in their home. So, you know, if you're out of the home has been foreclosed on, it's totally lost to you, you know, a significant payment like that can really help you to get back on your feet and start anew on, you know, your path to home ownership or financial health, whatever it is you decide.
All right, and I knew this question was coming. Got an email, said, well, what happens if your foreclosure came before this 2009 or after 2010? And I'm going to just suggest that you just don't qualify for this particular program.
That's right. This particular program is not for that person, but there are other things going on. You might want to check out the attorney's general settlement website about what's available within their states, and there may very well be additional opportunities for compensation or remediation coming down the pike.
You know, and certainly anybody that's gone through foreclosure, it's a dire time. I don't know that people are always thinking clearly. I know that many people, and I've heard this because we've covered these stories on the show, Christine. Where a servicer asks them for the same documents 2, 3, 4, 10 times, they lead them down a path to what they think is salvation, only to get to the end of that path and be denied. I mean, these are the kinds of things that this free foreclosure review will air out and perhaps correct, right?
You're absolutely right. So if they were charged fees that they shouldn't have been charged, if they were in a trial modification and they were paying as agreed and doing all of the things that the agreement required them to do and still they were foreclosed, you know, those are the types of errors and injuries that will be highlighted in the free foreclosure review and again, make that person eligible for perhaps some type of compensation or remediation. There were a number of things, and you're absolutely right.
All right. Well, I want to remind people again, and you can use the you can use both methods. The toll free number 855-778-0855, or go to independentforeclosurereview.com, and we have this stuff up on the Facebook page, folks. So don't worry if you're not able to write this stuff down. If you're on your commute to work, but it certainly would be worth exploring a little bit later on. Let me just share a little more information with you. And Christine, of course, will correct me if I get any of this wrong. You will be contacted. Mailings will be staggered to better manage the volumes. And I can expect that there will be lots of people once they hear about this that will want to get involved. And this is going to happen in stages. You will be able to participate in an official review. Eligible borrowers must submit a completed request form, which Christine has already told us about. And I would imagine, Christine, I have not yet been to that part of the website, but I would imagine that that is something you can fill out right on the website, correct?
Yes, you're absolutely right. You can fill it out right on the website. And I have to interject that, you know, this is not for people who have completely lost their homes only. You may still, in fact, be in the home, but you went through a process, a foreclosure process during 2009 or 2010. The bank sent you a letter saying, you know, telling you of their intent to foreclose. It didn't ultimately happen, because you may have sold the house in a short sale, or you may have worked out an arrangement to pay off your back mortgages, or you're still working on getting a modification. You may still be in the foreclosure morass, and you may still very well be in the house. You still may be eligible for this free review. So I want to make sure people are clear that foreclosure review, the independent foreclosure review, is looking at both types of cases, whether you're out of the home, it's been sold, it's now gone, or whether you're still in there. But you had to, the process had to have started in 2009 or 2010. And I also like to give folks the message that if they think they need some assistance in completing the form or they've got additional questions, they can contact their local HUD-approved housing counseling agency and get assistance there. There are counselors on staff that are available, that are aware of the independent foreclosure review. They understand all of the terminology. They can help them to get that form completed. And let me also make one additional point. In completing that form, whether you answer the questions or you use the narrative or you send documentation or not, most important is that you sign that form. Make sure you sign and date that form and get it into the mail before December 31st, 2011.
Absolutely, Christine. That's critical. Very quickly, a call as we're running out of time. Barbara and Wayne, you're on the air with Christine Gould.
Yes, she mentioned if you're not eligible for this service, you might be able to check somewhere else. She didn't say what that address or, I mean, web address or phone number.
And I'll let Christine answer that, but I think, Christine, that they could go to that HUD-approved counselor and get counseling there, correct?
That's absolutely right. You can go to HUD.gov, find a local housing counseling agency, a HUD-approved counseling agency in your community, and contact them. And if you don't want to walk in, just give one of them a call and discuss your situation, and they can assist you in answering your questions and finding sources.
Well, this was very helpful. I'm going to keep this information around a while. I know that this is something I've gotten a lot of emails. So, folks, again, go to the Facebook page. We've got it all there. And if you need, send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org, and I'll get this all to you. Again, the phone number, 855-778-0855. And then, again, the website address is independentforeclosurereview.com. Christine Gould, we're just out of time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tony. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Folks, if you're in foreclosure, we got help coming your way. We got to take a break. Much more to do on the other side.
1410 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
All right, we picked up a couple of new accidents on your drive. Let's head over to 75 northbound at Clark Street, where an accident had your left lane blocked. And we got another reported accident on 94 westbound at the Southfield Freeway. Still watching a problem on northbound 275 at Michigan Avenue, where the accident has your right shoulder blocked. And on DeQuinder southbound between 12 and 11 mile, accident has both lanes blocked and traffic is getting by in the left turn lane. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 42 degrees. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 47. And it's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio. I'm Dirk Van. President Obama huddling with business leaders ahead of negotiations on the fiscal cliff. Those steep spending cuts and tax hikes that automatically kick in January 1st. CNBC's Courtney Regan.
CEOs of a dozen companies will meet with President Obama today to discuss the looming fiscal cliff. Among those attending the meeting, the CEO of American Express, GE, Ford, and Walmart, urging Washington to work together.
The Wall Street Journal says the president will ask Congress for $1.6 trillion more in tax revenue, twice the level of last year. Thousands of people in New York and New Jersey are still powerless 2 weeks after Hurricane Sandy devastated the coastline, and gas still in short supply. Only 60% of stations are open in the Big Apple. And Elmo is still red-faced, but his voice has been exonerated. The young man who accused Sesame Street Muppeteer Kevin Clash of having an underage sexual relationship with him now says the relationship was adult and consensual. This is NBC News Radio. President Obama meets the press this afternoon, his first news conference since the election. And NBC's Chuck Todd says the scandal involving ex-CIA director David Petraeus could dominate.
While a distraction, while not how he wants to spend half of his press conference today answering questions about this, they don't see the political damage yet. But, of course, you know, this investigation, every morning there seems to be something new.
Meantime, lawmakers are digging through emails trying to determine if national security was threatened while Petraeus was having an affair with his biographer. Heading over the river and through the woods will cost you more this Thanksgiving with higher gas prices and airfares, but you'll still have plenty of company. AAA says 44 million Americans will travel at least 50 miles for the holiday weekend. And when it comes to computing, nobody does it faster. A Cray XK7 computer at the Oak Ridge National Lab has been named the fastest in the world, reaching speeds of 17.5 petaflops. That's quadrillion calculations per second. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a 100% risk-free million-bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-713-9768. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive 100% risk-free and also receive our fast-acting refining mask and green tea moisturizer free when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive. You'll receive a 60-day trial 100% risk-free, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-713-9768. There's no financial risk. Get your 100% risk-free trial giveaway of Proactive, including two free extras. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-713-9768. That's 1-800-713-9768.
This could be a very interesting day for Facebook, and probably not in a good way. More than 800 million of its shares are being unlocked today, meaning their shareholders can freely trade them for the first time since Facebook's infamously botched IPO 6 months ago. Expect volatility. Earnings. Staples reports a net loss from the July through September period on a one-time charge, but operating earnings beat forecasts, although sales were weaker than forecast. In early trade, Staples stock is up 5%. The bowling alley business is in the financial equivalent of a 7-10 split. The ranks of long, reliable customers, blue-collar members of leagues providing steady income, have been falling, and attempts to attract middle-class suburbanites have been met with an unreliable clientele. And that's led to this. AMF, the world's biggest operator of bowling alleys, has entered Chapter 11 protection. They're bowling strikes up on Wall Street. S&P futures up 3, NASDAQ futures up 11. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
My Mercedes-Benz dealership has a courtesy car waiting for me. It's easy for me to
come in. They always use Mercedes-Benz genuine parts.
And they always have my favorite coffee. I just feel so comfortable.
Personal attention and exceptional customer care. As a Mercedes-Benz owner, it's what you deserve and what you'll get.
My smooth ride.
My genuine sense.
My comfort zone. My service.
To learn more, visit mbusa.com/myservice.
Services vary. Available at participating dealers.
I want my company's network to be safer and more reliable.
Do you want to deal with multiple vendors?
No.
Are per-user fees and added feature costs okay?
No.
How about solutions that are hard to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Networks offers the largest family of powerful, affordable security, networking, and storage solutions designed to protect business users, apps, and data, all from a single source that's easy to do business with. Protect your business. Visit barracuda.com/products to try any free for 30 days.
Nerlman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Nerlman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Managing your own business takes a number of essential apps.
I think I have every one of them.
One is all you need.
Yeah, the contact managing one, the project tracking one, the work sharing one, and the client billing one.
No, just the all-in-one.
Which one?
Sage One, a simple web app that puts it all together for business.
That one?
The only one.
How do I get one?
Visit sagetoday.com for your 30-day free trial of Sage One.
Nice one.
That's sagetoday.com.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trubiano.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, and it's Wednesday. That means Stephen Henderson. It means our weekly segment with Planned Parenthood. So it means a great hour of radio. And we have a lot to get to. For those of you that were listening in the last half hour, on this free program to help you work through your foreclosure in the years 2009 and 2010. If you send me an email, as many of you have, I will be happy to send you the information after the show. I can't do it during the show, but I'll send it after the show. Tony@thetonyshow.org. And it's already up on the Facebook page if you have access to that. To Facebook, just search for First Shift on Facebook. And you will find all the information right there. With that said, let's get an introduction going and let's get this hour.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal, the Detroit Free Press's and First Shift voice of reason.
The Republican Party has now officially unmasked itself as primarily existing to protect the wealthiest Americans from any tax increases. And they don't appear to really have any other core principles that they're unwilling to bargain with, which is really disappointing because it's a party that has a very important and rich history and has a record of focusing on lots of different things, but it has been reduced to this one issue.
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now is Mr. Stephen Henderson. And Stephen, it's a pleasure to have you back. I have to say that before we get into our topics, as I watch you on Flashpoint quite regularly this past Sunday, first of all, I would think that sitting next to Debbie Dingell is not that hard to do, but sitting across from Nolan Finley, there has to be, come on, Stephen, there has to be days where you just want to crawl up on that tabletop and go, what the hell are you talking about?
It happens. No, I can't lie. There are times when I'm like, you don't really think that, do you?
It does make one wonder, Stephen. It truly does make one wonder. I got to tell you, I love it when the two of you are on together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it helps that Nolan and I are actually personally good friends, even though we bitterly disagree about policy issues. So I think that helps make for better television.
Yeah, but I'm sure. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I guess I'll attest to that since I brought it up. I want to go back to the show yesterday. I had Ed McNeil on, who I believe you know. Ed is the special assistant to Al Garrett, the president of AFSCME Council 25. And he came on the show to talk about the front page story that was in the Free Press yesterday morning about the city running out of money. And Ed McNeil said on this very show that it is just the city crying wolf. They had gone to the city, and Ed actually was on this show some months back and spent a whole hour here walking through a proposal that they had sent the city on how they could save millions upon millions of dollars, and the city never responded. And he insists, even as of yesterday, that if they would just look at this proposal and adopt it, they would not be in the situation they're in. But they are in this situation. That is real. Is the city being a little short-sighted here?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'd love to see what the proposal was that they sent to the city.
I'll have them contact you. No problem.
They should definitely send that to me, and you know, we'll put it in the paper if it's something that seems to add up and seems to make sense. You know, the city, I think, has missed lots of opportunities to do things that would make their financial situation a lot better. And I just think that's, you know, it gets back to this leadership question. At what point do you as mayor or president of the city council say, look, we just got to do this. And yeah, it's painful. And yeah, it means that some things that we might want to do, we can't do. You know, the alternative is insolvency, and the alternative is the state coming in here and ordering us around to do things in a way that maybe we don't want to do. But yeah, I mean, the situation is real. The city is running out of money. We spend far more than we take in, and until you change that, you know, we keep every couple of months we have this. You know, emergency where we say, oh my gosh, we're going to run out of cash. And that has to do with the pace at which you're overspending. And the state keeps bailing us out. The truth is, without state assistance, without some sort of state infusion of money, the city would be bankrupt anyway. I mean, we are not generating enough based on our tax revenues and things like that to operate the city at the size it is. The state has been floating us. So, I don't think anyone should try to call their bluff on this because it is real, and the city will have to file for some sort of bankruptcy.
Well, it seems to me, and this seems to be a decades-old problem. I even hate to say that, but the city council is never on the same page as the mayor. They don't seem to be able to agree to even disagree. And Stephen, you know, the article in today's Free Press is about, you know, the city council not making decisions on the Detroit Water Department, not making decisions on Belle Isle. Yeah, leadership requires you to make decisions, not to delay them.
Yeah, it does. And it requires, I mean, I tend to have a little more sympathy for council because I think they get left out of a lot of information and things that would help them make decisions, and that falls in the lap of the mayor, you know, the administration, and now to some extent into the governor's lap, because, you know, the state is very involved and is a partner in this consent agreement that's supposed to be moving the city forward. But you know, we don't seem to get to the point where everybody is literally, you know, working in concert, and everybody has the same amount of information so that you can get everyone to say, all right, this is what I would decide. This is what I want to do in this instance. And, you know, it's frustrating because, again, we every couple of months we get to this sort of precipice where we're just going to run out of money. And then some patchwork gets put together quickly to stop that from happening, but it doesn't solve the bigger problem. I thought when they hired Chris Andrews, who's the new program manager, that he would exercise more of the power that he has. I mean, this is easily the most powerful person in city government, in that he can request that things get done, and yeah, city council could say no, but he can just impose them according to the terms of that agreement, and he can say we have to do this, otherwise we run out of money. He's only done that in one instance that I know of, which is when he imposed the new contract terms. But there are lots of other ways that the city can just stop doing some things and stop paying for certain things because there's just no money for it. And I'm not sure if it's that he just hasn't got his footing yet and is still learning. I'm not sure if maybe there's a political sensibility on his part that, you know, you don't want to do that too often because, you know, people will get upset and revolt or whatever. But, you know, time is running out, and we need somebody to stand up and start doing these things.
How long before the repeal of Public Act 4 through Proposition 1 do we start having an elevated or maybe heated discussion, as a better phrasing of that, about the consent decree and whether or not they're tied together?
Well, I think there's a lot of people who believe they are tied together, and, you know, they're entitled to their opinions, and they're also entitled in this country to go to court to try to force force the dissolution of that agreement based on their objections. And I don't think it'll be long at all. I would suspect that'll be before the end of the year, that somebody says, wait a second, you can't do any of this stuff because this law that empowers it is gone. Now, of course, the governor's position on that is different, that this was about an interlocal agreement between the city and the state, and PA4 had little or nothing to do with it. But that's a legal question, and that'll get hammered out in court. But of course, while you're in court doing this stuff, the city's still spending more than it takes in, and that's the fundamental problem. You are just not. It's like anyone's household, right? If you spend more money than you make, eventually you run out, and then you don't have money for essential things. So that's where we're headed.
And you had told me 3 months ago that we would have this discussion 3 months later. I would have said, no way. I'm just, Stephen, I'm being honest. I would have said there's no way that we would be. Every time I think it's resolved, every time I think there's progress, every time I think there's a reality check, there's a lack of all of those things. And I've got to be honest with you. I'm very confused that if everybody wants it to work, how come it just is so dysfunctional?
Well, I think the decisions are very tough. And, the mayor, I think the mayor in some ways, it's a good thing that the mayor has real sensibility about how much he asks of city employees. That's where a lot of the money is, quite frankly, is in the cost of employing people in the city, which is much higher than it would be in other places. It's also tied up in, we gave very generous pension and retiree health care plans to employees. Not that I'm criticizing those. I think that's the right thing to do. But you got to be able to pay for it, and we can't. And it's tough to go back and try to renegotiate those things or restructure them on your own. I think the mayor has the right idea and the right intent. I just think it's the will to do all this stuff.
All right, we got to get to the break, Stephen. Stay where you're at. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, and you are jammed up right now if you're on 75 northbound at 14 Mile. That's because an overturned vehicle has your left shoulder blocked and traffic is stop and go from 12 Mile. Another new accident on 96 eastbound just before Livernois, that's blocking your left lane. Watching that accident on DeCorner southbound between 12 Mile and 11 Mile, accident has both lanes blocked with traffic getting by in the left turn lane. Set 275 northbound at Michigan Avenue, accident has your right shoulder blocked. 75 northbound at Clark Street, accident has your left lane blocked. And on 94 westbound, just before 8 Mile, another accident has your left shoulder blocked. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 42 degrees. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 47. It's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tripiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
Ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tripiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tripiano on Twitter.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM, and it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Tripiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson, my guest, the host of America in Black Journal on PBS and the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press. Stephen, we do have a caller, so let's go to the phones and welcome Mark in Birmingham. Mark, welcome to the show. You're on the air with Stephen Henderson.
Yes, Stephen, I read recently that the city has a $600 million unfunded pension liability and a $5 billion liability for retiree health benefits. Wouldn't, you know, if Proposal 2 would have passed, wouldn't that have made the situation much, much worse? And it's ironic. The show you're on tirelessly supported that proposal.
Yeah, he's aware of that. Mark, thanks for the call. Well, the proposal didn't pass, so I guess that we can speculate on it, but it doesn't really matter at this point.
I actually don't think Proposal 2 would have affected current pension or retiree health care obligations because those are actually those become debts and not subject to the laws of collective bargaining. The issue with pensions, though, is that those are already protected in the Constitution, and so you can't alter those without without changing that, it's very difficult to restructure that retiree health care. You can just stop doing technically, but that's not the right thing to do. I mean, what happens to those people who plan their lives around the idea that they would have health coverage in retirement? And that's the tension here, is that these promises that were made to these employees were the right kind of promises to make, and when they were made, the city believed it would have enough money to fund them. We don't now, and so the question becomes, okay, how do you fix that? I don't think the right way to fix it is to take it from the people who have it, but you do have to do something, because we're not generating enough money to service that and run the city, you know, with its services at the same time.
Yeah, let me point out to this audience, I probably spend more time with retirees than anybody within the sound of my voice. I speak at the vast majority of the speaking engagements I do are at retiree meetings, union retiree meetings. They're not happy people. The promises that were made to them through the auto companies and other unions and organizations and or companies have not been honored in many, many cases, Stephen.
That's
and
right.
It has profoundly affected their retirement. In fact, some of them, even in their 70s, have had to go out and get part-time jobs.
Right. And you know, the thing is, you're not really saving money when you take money from retirees. I mean, you're saving it from the person who's paying those obligations. But those people often get then forced into poverty, and which means then the federal or the state government is picking up the tab for those things that they don't have. Of course, Medicare costs go up and Medicaid costs go up as you take healthcare benefits from people. That's not really a solution because people need healthcare. People need money to live. The question is, how do we restructure things so that we can pay for those things that we promised in an era where our tax base, particularly in this city, it's just, you know, it's eroding. Revenues continue to either stay flat or go down, even as those other costs go up. So,
well, you know, somebody pointed out to me yesterday, even though people moving into the city is happening at a pretty fantastic level, they're rental properties and therefore don't generate tax revenue.
That's right. They don't generate income tax, and they still are. The numbers are still smaller than the exodus. I mean, in net population terms, we're still losing people, even though we have people moving in. And I'm not taking anything away from the fact that we are finally gaining lots of people. That's good, but that's not, in the short term, going to make a big difference on the bottom line to the city's tax revenue.
All right. Well, we only have a couple minutes left, Stephen, so I'll let you to choose. Do you want to talk bridge or right to work?
Let's talk right to work.
All right. Well,
that's coming up soon. Right?
Yeah, well, it may be coming up today for all we know, because it's not a conversation that's not happening everywhere. It's happening on the radio. It's happening on television. It's happening in print. It's happening on blogs. It is the topic, and
yes.
I got to tell you, I find the conversation fascinating, mostly because everybody's talking about it differently.
Yeah, they are. I will make a bold prediction here. I don't think it will pass the legislature. I think it'll pass the House easily, but I think it'll get clogged up in the Senate, where you have people forget that this is Michigan, and so whether you're Democrat or Republican, in a lot of instances, you're supportive of unions, and there are Republicans in the Senate who take money from unions, and so I think the idea that you could get a bill through that that breaks the union's backs as bad as right to work does is I think that's sort of far-fetched. I mean, I think there's a lot of talk and bluster about it, but when it comes down time to actually do that, I'm not confident that it'll get done.
I'm not confident, well, either. That doesn't mean we don't need to be prepared for it. It doesn't mean
we don't need to
respond to it, because we certainly need to respond to it. And we have, you know, we had a professor from the University of Oregon on the show some months back, Stephen, that had done a very extensive study on right to work for the state of Indiana, and he just kind of methodically went through this study and certainly demonstrably showed that it doesn't do what Republicans would like us to believe it does. It doesn't create jobs. It does, in fact, lower median income. It does take benefits away. It is really right to work for less. And he was able to demonstrate that, you know, through good old science. So I always love it when the facts prove the point.
Right. Makes it hard for people to keep insisting otherwise. But, I mean, Indiana is a great example of a state that you're not trying to emulate if you're Michigan. I mean, and I'm not trying to denigrate Indiana either, but it's the poorest state in the Midwest. You know, it's, the standard of living there is lower than it is in other states like Michigan. They went the right to work route. I think, if anything, we ought to wait to see what happens to them, whether things get better or worse for them. But it's not like that's a model state to begin with. Texas is the other state that most right to work advocates hold up as the paragon of how that works. But, you know, Texas has the highest poverty rate in the whole country. And 33% of the people in the state have no health insurance. So it's not like right to work has solved those problems. And Texas was the largest job creator in the country over the last 10 years, but that didn't solve those other problems. And so, right to work to me is sort of a phony solution. It does increase corporate profits. We know that. But in terms of the people who live in a state, it doesn't really improve their lives.
And no, so, it does not. Stephen, we're out of time. We'll visit next. I have a feeling that this right to work conversation will be one that we'll be revisiting. And in the meantime, thank you so much for your time this week, and we'll look forward to talking to you next Wednesday.
Absolutely.
Stephen Henderson, once again, editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press and host of American Black Journal. A quick break here. Desiree Cooper from Planned Parenthood when we continue.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, and you are jammed up right now if you're on 75 northbound at 14 Mile. That's because an overturned vehicle has your left shoulder blocked and traffic is stop and go from 12 Mile. Another new accident on 96 eastbound just before Livernois, that's blocking your left lane. Watching that accident on DeCorner southbound between 12 Mile and 11 Mile, accident has both lanes blocked with traffic getting by in the left turn lane. Set 275 northbound at Michigan Avenue, accident has your right shoulder blocked. 75 northbound at Clark Street, accident has your left lane blocked. And on 94 westbound, just before 8 Mile, another accident has your left shoulder blocked. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 42 degrees. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 47. It's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
They came, they spent, and they limped home, tails tucked between their legs. Okay, they didn't limp. They were flown home on their private Gulfstream jets, but still, their tails were tucked down in the defeat mode. They are the billionaire far-right corporate extremists who tried to be presidential kingmakers. Unleashed by the Supreme Court's Citizens United edict to spend unlimited sums of cash in this year's elections, they spewed money into efforts to enthrone Mitt Romney in the White House and turn the Senate into a GOP rubber stamp for totally corporatizing government. As they gathered at exclusive Romney victory parties on election night, however, the mood quickly soured, for key states were choosing Democrats. The people, damn them, seemed to be deliberately voting against the barons. Casino Baron Sheldon Adelson, for example, put down an obscene $60 million on 8 candidates and crapped out on all of them. Also, the Uber billionaire Koch boys reportedly amassed an arsenal of $400 million from their corporate vault and from other billionaires to knock off Obama. But at evening's end, there the president stood, reelected with more than 56% of the electoral votes. And Bob Perry, another self-serving ultra-rightist billionaire, dumped $21 million into GOP super PACs, trying to win Senate races in Florida and Virginia, as well as the presidency. All for naught. Democrats not only gained two seats in the Senate, but such new senators as Elizabeth Warren, Tammy Baldwin, Heidi Heitkamp, Mazie Hirono, Joe Donnelly, Chris Murphy, and Martin Heinrich are expected to stand against the corporate kleptocracy that the barons were trying to buy. This is Jim Hightower saying, of course, the billionaires reckon that they just didn't spend enough this year. So look for even more obscenity in 2014 and 2016.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift,
Pastor Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
If we're organized, then we can push the elected officials to represent the people, to make sure that resources are expanded and spread throughout the region in a way that is equitable and helpful for all people. We should have no child left behind, no community left behind. We should not have a race to the bottom, but there should be a floor for the poor and indeed a roof for the rich.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDT.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Before we get to our next guest, I've got to tell you, I am happy and proud to announce that beginning next Friday, a week from Friday, the Reverend Pastor D. Alexander Bullock will be a regular contributor to First Shift. He will join us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, and very much am looking forward to that and very proud to have him as a member of the First Shift team. With that said, it's time for Planned Parenthood, so if I can have an introduction, please.
Their reach matters.
And in a year where the most basic truths and access to help is as critical as it has ever been.
Many people in the news are talking about a war on women and others are denying it.
First Shift is proud to welcome to our airwaves an organization who continues to be the center of empowerment and honesty.
But certainly any objective look at the kinds of policies, etc., that some of the states are putting forward and being endorsed by the Republican candidate certainly would suggest that we don't think women are an important part of society.
And as they continue to provide services that save lives and provide a path to sanity. First Shift proudly brings you the gift of Planned Parenthood.
And we do. And we also bring you the gift of Desiree Cooper, the Director of Community and Media Relations for Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan. As we break down some demographics, oh, it's going to be more fun than it sounds, I assure you. Des, good morning.
Good morning, Tony. Yeah, we're not going to take medicine this morning. We're going to have a great conversation.
Yeah. In fact, as soon as those words left my mouth, I went, oh, we're breaking down demographics. Doesn't that sound hot? But truly, there's some interesting stuff here, I promise you. First of all, let me congratulate Planned Parenthood on all of their successes on Election Day, certainly becoming as active as you've ever been, both statewide, locally, and nationally. Planned Parenthood was a deciding factor in helping the president get reelected. So take a bow, Desiree Cooper.
We are so excited for all the people that we serve that we knew, you know, when we woke up Wednesday morning that our job was going to be easier, that we weren't going to have to fight on so many different levels just to serve the women, men, and teens who really rely on us. And that's 70,000, Tony, that's 70,000 a year here in the state of Michigan just in our affiliate. So 90,000 statewide. So, you know, we went into a post-election coma for sure because the fight was really, really tough. But it paid out in the end. And actually, part of the payoff was a group of young people that voted in very, very solid numbers for the second election in a row on very specific issues, and that's kind of what I thought we could talk about today.
Yeah, I think that's a great discussion. And let me just, before we get into some of the nitty-gritty here, Desiree Cooper, let me remind everybody that before the election, even a day before the election, we were told the youth vote isn't with Obama. Latinos aren't with Obama. The GLBT community isn't with Obama. We were told all of that. Now we can have that
right.
discussion because everybody was wrong.
That's true. And one reason that people were saying that the youth vote, and I'm talking about the millennial generation, so those are young people who are now 18 to 29 or 30 years old. That's a generation that's about the size as the baby boomer generation. So it's a really, really big cohort. And people thought that they wouldn't break for Obama because for most of their productive lives, the unemployment rate has been so extraordinarily high. And it does turn out that they are the least employed generation ever to come through the United States. So people said, well, they're just going to be so, you know, hopeless and that hopey-changey thing didn't work for them. Well, they were wrong because there's a whole lot of other issues that that cohort does care about.
Well, and actually, this is where every conversation surrounding the brand that we call Republicans starts. And I'll get to that in just a moment. I also want to mention that they're the least white generation in the history of this country. And that matters, and it matters in this context. I believe that the millennial generation will be remembered historically as the generation that changed the Republican Party. And I don't mean, Desiree Cooper, by getting involved as Republicans, but by forcing Republicans to change the way they do business. And I profoundly believe that.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. Yes, they are definitely the least white generation. About 40% of them are non-white compared to the general population, which is about 30%. However, they are diverse not out of birth rates, but out of immigration. So this is also a first. It's not because even though a lot of the diverse populations have a higher birth rate than the white population, and I'm talking most specifically about the Latino population, which has the highest birth rate, but that cohort is growing because of immigration. And so that means that they also have a different perspective on what an American is, why they are in this country. So all that really does have bring to bear not only on our policies and our politics, but also on how are we going to be serving this generation. When they look at their top issues, Tony, and when they voted, the economy, of course, was number one. Student debt, no surprise, number two. Number three, health care. And so that really has a profound effect for organizations like Planned Parenthood, where much of our patient base are 18 to 29-year-olds. So this is a high, high, high priority for them, and it means a lot for us as an organization as well.
You know, interestingly, let me ask you this question, although I think you actually just answered it. How closely does the demographic we're talking about, the millennial demographic, relate to Planned Parenthood's demographic?
Very closely, very closely. That's our strongest, that's our biggest cut of the pie, is the 18 to 39-year-olds. We actually, over 75% of our patient base would be from 18 to about 35. So, but that is definitely the biggest slice of the pie that we're serving. And, you know, if we look at the Affordable Care Act, most of these young people, if they do have parents who have insurance, and that's a big if, they can stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. So many of them are kind of looking like, even though that's a wonderful grace period, it's better than it was, they are still looking at a drop-dead deadline where they are not going to have access to health care unless other benefits start to kick in.
Well, and let me just share this with you very quickly, Des, because I had a talk with a millennial last Thursday or Friday, and this is what she said to me. She said, Tony, I think it's wonderful that the ACA gives us access to mom and dad's health care till I'm 26. What if I don't want it? What if I want to be independent? What if I want my own? And I want that, and I can't get it.
Right, right. And fortunately, the Affordable Care Act will help take care of that as well, now that we know, you know, that President Obama is going to be able to go forward with his plans to make sure that everyone has access to health care. But it's really interesting because We do have many patients, millennials, who come to us at Planned Parenthood who do have access to health care but don't want to have their parents involved. They don't want those little sheets coming back to their parents saying that they had tests or they had services with their family doctors. And so they choose to come to Planned Parenthood and get served so that they can maintain their privacy and take care of their health, reproductive health care needs. So, this is a top issue for them, and therefore, you know, it's a cohort that we really, really are interested in who they are, what they think about, and where they're headed. You know, they say that when young people first start vote, if they vote in two consecutive elections in the same way, they are likely to stay with that party for a lifetime. And so the millennials are, many of them have done that, and some are close to doing that. And so in terms of policy, in terms of how America looks at them, in terms of how we look at family, how we look at reproductive health care, you know, they are going to shape a political environment coming up. And pretty soon those tastes, those ideals are going to get set. And I know we'll be able to talk a little bit more about what are those ideals that they hold.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a generation.
You know, interestingly, in our 7 o'clock hour, I interviewed a young man from Birmingham. He wrote an op-ed in the Free Press this weekend titled Why Can't Republicans Win the White House? And he's the 20-something, very smart guy, works for a political strategy firm, entrenched in his conservative beliefs. We weren't here to debate that. We were here to debate the relevancy of or to discuss the relevancy of the Republican brand. He agreed with exactly what you and I are talking about right now, that unless the Republican Party can figure out a way to talk to the millennials, and they don't know how to do that. Desiree, this is a fact. This isn't my opinion. They don't know how to talk to millennials. And unless they figure that out, and I don't see them even making an effort to do that, they become less relevant with every passing election cycle.
Yeah, but we can't forget that even though 60% of the millennials broke for Obama, 40%, that's a huge chunk, went for Romney. So this, it's like you're saying, this isn't really about either party. It's really about a growing size of Americans that are going to shape how we think, how we feel, really about social issues and public policy. And both parties have got to get on board about who this generation is and what they expect out of their experience of being an American.
Absolutely. Why don't we come back and have that discussion? Let's also plan on, you know, what do millennials think about things like sexual orientation, religion, and family values? Like, think for a moment as we go to the break, this 60-40 split. I said yesterday, and let me warn Democrats once again that are listening this morning, take nothing for granted. Desiree Cooper, my guest, the Director of Community and Media Relations for Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan. Feel free to join us if you've got an opinion. Imagine that. 888-552-3595. We'll take the break and be right back.
There's no question about it, Tony. I always enjoy talking with you and meeting with you and sharing ideas. You do a great service to the community, and we're fortunate to have you on the air.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Junior Senator from the state of Michigan, Debbie Stabenow, who joins us now.
You know, we in Michigan are a tough, independent lot. Folks expect you to work hard and earn their vote, and so I work hard to do that every day. And having lived in Michigan my whole life, I feel a real commitment to Michigan to make sure that I'm there in the middle of the fights that are going to make the difference for us.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too, when he comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
10 minutes before 9 o'clock, welcome back. Desiree Cooper, my guest, Director of Community and Media Relations for Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan. We are, of course, in our weekly segment. Happy to be here. Happy to have survived the election. Kind of breaking down some of the demographics, looking at was what I consider to be the most important one, the millennials, as Desiree defined them, between 18 and 29 years old. Desiree, welcome back. There she is. Welcome back.
Okay, here I am.
There you are. All right. Well, you know, let's talk about some of the issues that were important to this group. Let me first ask: where does this group stand on sexual orientation?
Well, about 70% of them favor gay marriage or civil unions, and 44% have a friend who is gay. I don't know how many of them identify as LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, but that's a clear trend that something that America in general seems to be grappling with as controversial, this generation seems very comfortable with it. It's not an object of controversy. It's just a matter of life, a matter of course. So as older Americans see this as a flashpoint, as an issue for debate and controversy, as this group grows up and gets more and more powerful in terms of speaking on policy, their voting preferences, et cetera, we're going to see this issue diminish.
Now, I'm telling you, millennials that are listening to us right now, if you guys actually get your stuff together and organize a little bit, you already have the power you need to change the face of politics. You already have it. If you can figure out a way to harness it responsibly and partner with the right folks, you may be surprised how profoundly important this voice is. Desiree, let's talk a little bit about religion and family values. How do they come down on these issues?
Well, 1 in 4 of them is not affiliated with any religion at all. It doesn't mean that they're not religious, but they seem to be more open to sampling, if you will, from many different kinds of religions to form their own, it's almost like an individual point of view about religion and spirituality. I think what's really interesting is this set of questions around family values. And again, this profoundly could affect things like health policy. For example, who do you consider family? Who should be covered on health insurance?
who do you have a right to speak for? You know, I call it sort of like invented family, where people find they have adopted parents, they've adopted siblings that are not blood related to them, but they function as family. And so will they have a say in those people's health care, in their living arrangements, benefits, etc.? So 7 out of 10 of them believe that sex outside of marriage is morally acceptable. 70% believe that divorce is morally acceptable. And when you look at that first one about sex outside of marriage being morally acceptable, that really affects organizations like Planned Parenthood, how we're out there doing education. People who are talking about abstinence only, it's irresponsible, because there's such a big group of Americans out there who don't even have that as a value, much less as a rule that, you know, we often have values that we don't live by, but the millennials don't even have that as a value. So it's time to really get real about sexual activity and behavior and how we can get out there and really protect people and help them be safe.
Let's something that, of course, would be near and dear to Planned Parenthood would be where millennials come down on reproductive health care. Do we have those numbers?
Yeah, 60% of them believe that abortion should be available in all or most circumstances. And 75% of them believe that insurance companies should definitely be required to cover birth control. And, you know, one place that we saw, Tony, you were just talking about millennials, if they could sort of push the power that's already in their hands. Well, we saw that with Sandra Fluck, who was 29 when she burst onto the scene this election year over having access to insurance that covers birth control with no copay. So she completely transformed that conversation and garnered the support of many millennials as they watched her go into the public spotlight and advocate for that. That's one woman, you know, 30 and under, who really changed an election and changed the conversation. So you're right. You know, the minute that they can get out there and really kind of push for what they believe in, not just around elections, but around civic engagement, around public policy, they are definitely going to change the way we look at a number of issues.
No, there's no question. That's why if they pick their partner strategically, they are going to find a very willing and very open opportunities. As an example, and I'm not trying to be I can't say that in the radio. You know, I'm just saying, if you partner with somebody like Planned Parenthood, where many of you feel closely assimilated to what they stand for, that's one way to exercise that political will. The point I'm trying to make, and I think I've made it already once, if not twice, is you have power. Use it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the power is definitely there. And because 50% of them, let's not forget, 50% of them voted, and the Obama machine got that number by really enlisting people who had never voted before. And so we have a whole new cohort of brand new people who are engaged. And so for them to be able to see, you know, sort of a cause and effect, you know, when they became engaged, they really did change an election cycle. And, you know, with me being apolitical, to me, that's not the point. The point is the power is really there. It's in their hands. They've already exercised it once. Now it's time to really spread that out. You know, if we look, Tony, then at the millennials, at the younger end of them, the 18-year-olds in Detroit specifically, while there is some power, there's some danger there because they are not educated around reproductive health care, and they are not being as responsible as they could be, and they don't have the access to the information that they need. And so at the same time, we wanted to empower this generation. And so that's part of what Planned Parenthood is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important, and this is a great exercise. Today's conversation is really a great exercise. Now, you know, we love to empower people with information. We've done that. We like to educate people. We've done that. What they do with it now is entirely up to them. Desiree Cooper, you, of course, would agree with that. At the same time, you know, you and I also have a responsibility to lead. And I'd like to think that's what we did this morning as we led. Sometimes it's just about leading people to water and letting them drink. Sometimes it's about offering them the water to drink. But we'll have to save that conversation for another day because we are just out of time. Desiree, thanks so much. It was great to visit with you this morning.
Oh, good talking to you, Tony.
As always. And okay, next week, Planned Parenthood back again. We don't get to visit with Desiree that often, so I enjoy that when we do. All right, Fran Brennan and Frank Houston in the next hour. Democrat Central, be ready. We got lots to do. And First Shift continues after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We still got lots of problems on your commute, but we'll start off with some good news. They cleared that accident on 75 northbound at 14 mile, but you still got heavy traffic from 9 mile. Grand River eastbound or Telegraph, overturned vehicle has your left two lanes blocked. That overturned vehicle is also blocking the right two lanes on Telegraph Road northbound at Grand River. Still watching that problem on DeQuinder southbound between 12 mile and 11 mile. Accident has both lanes blocked and traffic getting by in the left turn lane. 275 southbound at 5 mile, accident has your right shoulder blocked. Right shoulder is also blocked on 696 eastbound before 75. And another accident has both shoulders blocked on 96 eastbound at the Davidson, and that's causing slow traffic from the Southfield Freeway. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 42 degrees. Tonight, a low of 31. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 47. It's currently 28 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.